Hey, this is Sunny Bunch. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. We are talking about the NC-17 rated Showgirls on this week's episode. So this is a not safe for work and not safe for vans with children episode. So maybe just skip this one if you're listening with the family, all right?
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sub Beacon. I'm Victor Manis along with Sunny Bunch, and subbing in for Jonathan V. Last is our good old friend Mary Catherine Ham. Hello, Mary Catherine.
Hello, glad to be here.
Just a reminder, the Sub Beacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look under podcasts and search for Sub Beacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. JVL is having a busy work week, I understand, but we are so happy to have back on the show Mary Catherine. How are you, and what is going on?
I'm good. I mean, as good as I can be. It's a weird year, but I did...
Maybe the worst.
I did manage to get to sneak in a wedding on the very last weekend you could have a party without being judged. And without anybody,
that's
luckily
right.
Nobody got
that's
sick.
Right. That's what I want to know. You had a lot of people that went to your destination wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone who was on planes,
yes.
On planes, and you're telling me nobody said, oh,
no, I was,
you.
We were crossing fingers hard once we got back. So we did the wedding. Everybody had a lovely time,
that's
came
right,
back, man. Were immediately locked down as soon as we got here. So we have been extremely married for several months now.
That's good.
It's
that's
like good. Extremely married with two children in the house 24/7. But we were crossing our fingers pretty hard that everybody was okay.
Because really bad. You might have to give back the presents.
Yeah.
Everybody
was good.
You might need this blunder more than I do.
You know, this is look, you take your chances on something like this, right? Like if you're going to the destination wedding in the middle of the pandemic, you understand. The choices have been made. There's no present return.
And to be fair to everyone, it was not quite social distancing time. It was the very weekend before the orders came down.
Again,
that life was going to be different.
Again,
yeah.
Before anybody would secretly take the photos of you and then report you.
Yes.
To the place.
Although I did get some heckling about putting the photos up later and had to explain these are from earlier. You know, the normal internet stuff.
No, it was okay. We did this literally right before everybody was required to social distance.
Exactly.
So it's
pleading,
totally fine.
Literally, you plead ignorance.
Come on.
These joyous pictures are fine.
Think it's because everybody. As far as I know, must have, you know, I mean, they followed the rules, you know, when they, after they came back and I know, for example, the McCormicks, they really quarantined hard on that.
Yeah.
So they didn't go out, you know, and so, and everybody's fine as far as we know. So that's it.
Yeah. It was pretty
that's
locked
good.
Down as soon as we got back. So that's been, we had a nice adjustment period when we got back.
Yeah. The girls must've loved that.
It's good. We've been training them up. They do many more chores than they did before lockdown.
Oh,
so. Yeah,
what's the best trick that you've taught them?
The newest one is that they unload the whole dishwasher.
Oh, the whole dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
They might not know how to read or write, but they can definitely unload the dishwasher for me.
My daughter, who turns 5 in a couple of weeks, she doesn't unload the whole dishwasher, but she likes to do certain parts of it. And one of her favorite thing to unload are the glasses under Daddy's globe. Daddy, are there any globe glasses? Are there any globe glasses? You know, it's like a bar. It's like a globe
bar.
It's
terrifying.
And it's got like a little, it's got a little thing underneath. And she just is so excited to take the globe glasses down.
As long as she's careful with it, you're fine.
It's a beautiful thing that she'll always remember.
What I tell the kids, I have to remind the kids is, I like to, I don't know if this is a, this might be just an Asian thing. I saw a video of like a Filipino mom video of like washing the dishes before, like running water on them before you stick it in the dishwasher.
Oh yeah, you have to do that.
Okay, good. Because I don't know, some people put whole chunks of like.
Isn't that normal? Even I do
I
that, and I feel like
I know
I'm...
there's a drain, but I'm not like because like you
no,
know you
it's not like
these...
it's not like the food disposal.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Even though they say, oh, you know, don't remove all the food because it'll affect how it gauges how much water to add. But I'm still gonna wipe put stuff down. I'm not like putting like chicken bones in there. It'd be insane.
No, you can't.
Okay, good. Like
we're
you
not
see
animals.
Have you seen the commercials for like these dishwashers where it's like the casserole, like the lasagna in the casserole dish? It's like half the lasagna is still in there. Really? I can like
Is that an ad for the dishwasher or for the detergent?
I think it's an ad the detergent for the, saying it like, the, look it's got to be the detergent.
It's like
look
Mr.
What we do.
It's like Mr. Bubbles. That's you know, right. look that's at right. how look powerful at Mr. Bubbles
Mr.
is.
Mr. Bubbles. Yes.
I'm going to play the JVL part and say those are capitalist pig lies right there.
You well, know, JBL's... does he even want it? Does he even like talking about dishwashers, though? I get the sense that this part would bore him to tears.
Didn't JBL write a whole piece for a big, like, well story for the Weekly Standard about how they changed dishwasher formulas because of, like, environmental regulations, and now they're not as good anymore? See, if only JVL were here.
Too bad.
Maybe he can do a correction.
Too bad. I'm sure he will. Especially about decibels. I have a KitchenAid and it's very quiet. And I always like to backload, especially the kids front load, you know, so they can like barely, when they open up the dishwashing machine, they just, where you put the utensils, they just stick it right in immediately in the front. They don't want to reach in the back. So it's all in the front, all crammed together. And I'm always moving stuff back.
Yeah,
so
mine are reprimanded for that. There are consequences.
Yeah, no, because
then
they're all stuck to, come on now. You know,
wait, you guys do back to front. See, I do side to side. I start on the right. I put the dishes on the right and then move over. And then for the forks and stuff, I just put it wherever.
Well, wherever?
Oh, don't say wherever. That will really trigger JVL.
There's a holder for the utensils. And
No. Yeah, I mean, yes, obviously within the utensil
there.
Holder.
Play the knives are just flat.
They're just flat laying there
and like, spinning. The thing is spinning and the knives are there. No, okay, nothing like that. All right, good. Yeah. Sonny, how are you and when are you going to see Tenet?
I was, I was going to see it today because we're taping on Thursday.
Oh, sorry.
Thursday, July 16th, I was going to go see it tonight. Go to a 10 o'clock showing in IMAX.
Was today supposed to have been?
Today, well, I mean, tonight? It was supposed to come out 7:17, so Thursday,
midnight,
you know, things would have been tonight at 7 and 10. And, but no, we're never going to see it. We're never going to see it is what it comes down to. There's
back.
A reason we're not talking about Tenet today. Yeah. We're talking about something else entirely.
Oh, we are. We'll get to that in a second.
I'm super depressed. I'm super depressed. Also, Dallas just announced that there will be no in-person schooling until like middle of September at the earliest. So that means not going to be any.
Because I'm
going to end up a homeschool teacher next year.
No, this is what's happening.
I'm going to jump off my friggin' roof. The problem is I'm only at a one-story house now. So I'm going to jump off the roof and kind of break my neck. And then I'll just be in a wheelchair and the children will be around all the time.
That makes things worse, I think. Arlington is going to start now. They pushed it back, I think, by a week. So they're starting after Labor Day. And they're not going to start even a hybrid in terms of like 2 days a week. Or they split it up with the kids. They're pushing that to October, into the second quarter. I heard there's Maryland, I think Prince George's or one of the other counties, they've decided January, which you know what that means, 2021. That means at some point they're just going to say this whole year, like I think Harvard is doing the entire year online for, what, $50,000 a year?
Yep.
Money well spent.
Okay. Yes, please.
Oh, I was just going to complain. I was going to complain briefly about the fact that the pools are closed. Children dipped in chlorine seems like
a safe
one
thing.
Of the safer things.
Yeah, chlorine is the whole thing about the chlorine. No, we have the Knights of Columbus have a pool, and if you paid, then you can reserve times, and they keep it like there's a small percentage of people, and you can go in, but it's staggered.
Speaking of which, Vic, I noticed the other day, so I went to a Starbucks, and behind the Starbucks, there was a giant water park, and I was like, what is this giant water park doing here? And I drove around, and it's the Knight of Columbus pool.
Dallas.
You have to put in a good word
for
me.
Oh, this is the way.
Just tell him.
He's got a pass.
All those Sub Beacon listeners are so jealous that I found a way. I found a way for Sonny to become Catholic.
I'm not actually going to convert. Well, no, you just got to put in a good word for me.
Well, how good is the water park?
Yeah, you got to.
It's good at this point. At this point.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If that's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
No, but you just put in a word. You give them the wink and the nudge.
Yes. Yeah, I have my connections.
I am a third degree.
My daughter.
What
had,
does that even mean?
Third oh, degree I can't night. Get into it. It's classified.
Is this like?
It's like
is this
levels.
Like?
There are levels. Supernumeraries.
Is this like the Masons?
Like yeah, it's similar to like a Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. I think
it's like the Stonecutters.
The Stonecutters. Yes. In fact, my daughter had a tap class, and they're renting the instructors are renting from the ballroom at the Knights. And so I dropped her off. And I went in the back, and there's the place called the Deep End, which is the bar. And shockingly, I walked in and somebody called my name and asked me if I want a tall cold. I said, of course, bring it over. So then I said, I didn't pay my the pool dues. I didn't pay the pool dues. So I can't use the pool. But you mind? I just want to check it out. And then I realized my standing there alone as a man drinking a beer, staring at kids in the swimming pool was probably.
Turn around.
I said, what do you all look at?
At the Catholic?
How dare you, Sonny.
No,
moving right
is,
along.
I'm sorry.
Too soon.
Right, you know what?
So right, now I don't
You've
get to
revoked.
Use the Knight of Columbus.
It's been revoked. It's been revoked.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
I'm tearing up the form, 5100 or whatever it is. I'm tearing it up. Okay.
We had a brief, like a slightly traumatizing trip for my kids to the, we've been going to the swimming hole. We found swimming holes because that's.
You've got a hole?
Yeah. There's.
Wait a minute. Is this like in the movies where they have the tire on the you know, with the rope on the tree?
Yes, it's very idyllic. It's idyllic, I tell you. So we've been looking around, and I'm not dipping them in the Potomac. I'm merely dipping them in a tributary. Of the Potomac.
I'm sure it's
much cleaner.
There.
It looks fine. Yeah. So we go down to the swimming hole the other day, the whole family, and it's very pretty. And you walk down into the woods, and there's just a creek that's deep enough for them to wade and swim a little bit, even some cannonballs off the rocks. Like I said, it's like a movie. And on the way down, a police officer comes by us and he says quietly to my husband and I, there's an injured deer to the right over here. So if you just want to keep the kids, you know, maybe away from that area. And my husband yells, they can learn that lesson. This is just a picture of our parenting style over here. And
some point, I hope you didn't hear like a bang, you know, anything like that.
Vic, spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
But it was there are families all at the swimming hole. They're not a small number. And you do hear the dispatching of the injured deer. And the other parents didn't know what it was.
Oh, firecracker.
And I thought, should I go tell them or does that just make the issue worse? I saw them all looking at each other and we just decided to let it go. And everybody continued to swim in the DC area swimming hole.
That's the way it is in your swimming hole, I guess. That's how they roll. Yeah, I think that's just a firecracker. I'm
sure. Yep, I think we're fine.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'll tell you another thing, summer related. I was working today in at home, of course, as we all are. I'm in the living room, and all of a sudden I hear this racket outside, and it's this electronic, like kids' music, like, you know, like some sort of nursery rhyme melody playing over and over with bells and whistles. It was an ice cream truck. And I don't know if you have them coming by your areas now because Sonny is shaking his head. It's been a while and I've seen them come and go, but, you know, they just drive by because there's really not a lot of people out there. But of course, today, my daughter was across the street with her neighbor friend. They hang out all the time. And first you hear the music of the ice cream truck and then you hear the screaming. You know, and then I look out and sure enough, she's running. She doesn't have any shoes on, chasing after the ice cream truck. And she, of course, and no money.
Yeah.
And so Kate and I were just watching at the window like, what is she going to do? Like, how is she going? What is happening here?
What's the plan?
So sure enough, the ice cream truck stops and then she starts running over here. So I think, OK, here we go. All right. Here's some money. Get your thing. But what is it about ice cream trucks? That's
So she stops the truck. She distracts the
yes,
truck.
Yes, she distracts the truck.
And it's like, you stop. You stop, truck. And
I've
then
got
she
money.
Comes to you.
Yeah, and then she comes
and then
to
she
me.
Comes to
That's
you.
Right. And he right. waited. And then a couple other kids showed up. And so they were there. And then that music was that infernal. It's playing over and over again. But it's a weird thing. It's I remember, I don't know how you guys were when you were kids, but when you hear the ice cream truck music, it makes you go crazy. It's like, you got to stop. You could be eating ice cream already because it's like, we have ice cream at home. That never works by telling, you know, my kids, we have ice cream at home. That never works. You could be eating the ice cream. As soon as you hear that, you're going to jump, run out the door, and chase after the
ice cream. Yeah, my kids don't know what one is yet. We heard one the other day, and they asked me, and I said, that's an ice cream. That is just a mute. That's a, just a song that plays. Don't well,
so,
worry about
it's
it.
So bad. You, Mom you of the year.
That. You could do that for their whole childhood because that's what my parents did to me.
Yep.
They called that whenever the ice cream truck would come by, they'd be like, "The music truck is here," and I would go and I would dance to
it
the music.
It doesn't have anything else.
Oh, you're kidding, Sonny. You're
I'm
kidding.
I'm dancing. You know, like the music truck. Yay! Bye, bye, music truck.
It was so nice to hear you.
Bye bye music truck. That's why they have the pictures on the side of the trucks for kids. If you can't read, like for many years, just point. I know what that is.
It's a happy truck. You know what's happy is ice cream. Ice cream is happy.
The Ham parents were.
That, I can't believe
the Ham parents were very skilled. Similarly, and when we used to go to the laundromat, where we would go, and my mother would have, you know, just a giant stack of quarters because we had to do laundry there. There was a Miss Pac-Man game, and in the 80s, all you wanted to do was play Miss Pac-Man. The rules in our household were such game. That you had to ask for permission to pretend to play the Miss Pac-Man game. There was no question of asking for a quarter to actually play. So we
just
played the like, dummy game.
Just like what, moving it around?
And we tried to convince each other that that we had gotten a quarter from our mom. Like we could play the demo game so well. We're like, wow, she gave you one? No, she didn't.
Oh, because you're watching it. Brilliant.
Oh, man.
That's brilliant. I had for us today, speaking of ice cream truck, an ice cream truck ranking. It probably doesn't mean anything since you did not get ice cream at the ice cream truck. Okay. I just have my top three. They're all Jack and Jill, by the way. That was the product. It was Jack, not the other Jack and Jill. This is this Jack and Jill. I get confused. Not Jack. I'm thinking of something else. In any event, this Jack and Jill, number three. I was thinking of Adam and Eve. Sorry.
Weren't we all?
I know. I know. I mean, I knew it was like a guy's name and a girl's name. I got
I was trying to. I was trying to figure out, wait, is he talking about Adam and Eve?
It's the same names. Come on.
Jack and Jill, you mean the Adam Sandler movie?
No, where he
plays Jack and Jill?
I was thinking of Adam
and Al Pacino's in it?
Yeah, no.
And Al Pacino falls in love with Jill Sandler?
All I knew was that it was dirty, whatever it was.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. Number three. is the chocolate éclair, which, by the way, was not like an éclair. It's not like a French éclair, you know. And in fact, it's just a, you know, it's like a popsicle and it's got all sorts of crunchies on it and it's chocolate. And I remember actually having an éclair for the first time as a, like in a restaurant and being so disappointed. It wasn't.
What is this crap?
Right. What is this crap with the cream puff? Okay. Okay. Number two, Almond Crunch. Almond Crunch was like.
I don't know what any of these
Almond
things
Crunch
are.
Had no chocolate. So, like, if you had a fancy ice cream truck, you can get Nestle Crunch, right? But the Jack and Jill Almond Crunch is ice cream, and they, like, roll it in this crunchy almond that probably is not even almond. It's just,
probably
like,
not.
Crunchies.
Almonds
crunchies.
Are expensive. So
they are.
Probably
they
not.
Are. It had to be fake. And we had the same ice creams in our school, by the way. Okay. And number one was strawberry shortcake.
Obviously. So
yes.
I'm just pairing
yes,
these up
Mary
with
Catherine.
Good humor, which is I assume is the same ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you enjoy that as well. I
agree.
I love that. It's almost like fruity pebbles on the outside, the flavor of it, and it's got that, you know, soft pink center. Speaking of which, our movie of the week is Showgirls. Yes, Sonny. Oh, Mary Catherine just left. Thanks for coming.
See, I almost stepped on your transition because I
know
was
you
ask,
did.
What,
I saw you.
What's the rocket one? The red, white, and blue?
Yes. Don't get that
like
one.
Like rocket
don't get, no, don't fool yourself. You're
that
not
gonna, also could have been a transition.
That could have been. It's big. It's but it's those ices. It's not the same. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same heft as the ice cream. Okay, so if that was not a tasteful transition, I had two other alternatives if you'd like to hear them. I'm just going to tell them to you, okay? I enjoy... You know what I'm drinking right now? This is no joke. I know you hate Irish whiskey, Sonny. because you're thinking about Jameson's.
Gutter whiskey.
I know you say that, but you have to try the one I like. There's two, Teelings and Red Breast. And this is Red Breast. It's really, speaking of Red Breast, our movie of the week. If you like that, okay. Okay, and then here's number three. You get to vote on which one. Number three, guess what I had for lunch today? Arby's roast beef. Speaking of which,
We should make sure to tell all of the people who listen to the show with their families in the cars.
They don't
this
know.
Is going to be a this is going yeah, to be a non safe for work.
Oh,
not safe for family.
Oh, I can't wait. And Mary Catherine, she's so great. Girls. We can't wait to hear the show with Mary Catherine.
Yeah, my theory was I'm only here to just temper slightly what's going to come out of Vic's mouth. That was
so to speak. Okay. So not only do our listeners get Mary Catherine as a special treat here, talking about but she's also here to talk about Showgirls, which came out 25 years ago,
and 25 years,
25 years ago, and more specifically, the documentary on the movie "You Don't Know Me," Know Me N O M I, Know Me, because that was Know Me Malone, who is Elizabeth Berkley.
Yes.
I don't know how you want to do this, Sonny. Do you want to do a big boy review of? So, you don't know me, or
as Vic is suggesting here, we are kind of talking about two movies today. The first is You Don't Know Me, N-O-M-I, which is a documentary about the movie Showgirls, looking at its legacy as a camp classic and the attempted rehabilitation of it. And secondly, we're going to talk about Showgirls some, I think, because it is streaming on HBO Max. It is the NC-17 version of Showgirls. Is like HBO Max is like, look, Disney Plus has their offerings for the kiddos, but you know, if you want the good stuff, you come to HBO Max. It was right there on the homepage too. I like literally, and maybe it's like tailored to me because I'm a pervert.
Oh, yeah.
But like I turned on HBO Max the other day and they were like, new Showgirls, NC-17. I was like, okay.
Why not? The one I saw in the theater, was that the same one then? Or is
the one
like
you saw in the Showgirls is like the biggest budgeted NC-17 movie ever. Like they did not cut it down to an R to get it shown in more theaters. We can get to all that in a minute. So first let's talk about the documentary a little bit. You Don't Know Me it's kind of an interesting documentary insofar as it's not a talking head documentary exactly, because the filmmakers didn't actually record any of the people talking. What they did is they sent an audio cassette recorder around the country to various critics to have them like record their thoughts.
Is this why I saw none of their faces?
Yeah. So this is why you saw none of their faces. So like everything they say like plays on top of clips from Showgirls and other Paul Verhoeven movies, which is kind of an interesting stylistic choice. It almost makes it like a remixed commentary track of sorts. So You Don't Know Me it's a movie that looks at the legacy of Showgirls and tries to, you know, discuss whether or not it is purely a camp classic in the kind of classic Sontagian sense of the word. We discussed this when we were talking about Flash Gordon a few weeks back, but like, basically, my argument about Flash Gordon was Flash Gordon can't be camp because camp can't be intentional. You can't like intentionally make a crappy, silly movie and have it be called camp. That's not how it works. Camp has to be something that is done in earnest, and the earnestness and the failure of the seriousness of it is what lends it its like kind of classic status. And my argument would be that Showgirls falls very squarely in that category. I don't believe in the idea that something can be so bad that it's good. But I do believe in the idea of camp in a sense of like a movie that is like it's badness comes from its earnestness, and then there's a kind of like honesty to it that makes it watchable. So when people go on in this movie about how it's like, you know, oh, it's genius comedy, and you know, oh, it's so no, it's not. It's just it's a bad movie that only succeeds because it is trying to be serious, if that makes sense. So there's a very funny moment in this documentary where this guy who works at The Ringer is going on and on about mirrors. He's like, oh, and there's this mirror motif, and the characters look in mirrors and they see reflections of themselves, and the film is structured like a mirror with the opening and the closing is the same, and just go for like 90 seconds goes on about mirrors. And there's a female critic who like is the next edited in voice, and she's like, mirrors, really? That's what we're gonna hang the success of this movie on? Mirrors? Give me a break. And it's like the perfect deflationary tactic when somebody is getting overly serious about something that's bad. And this is a bad movie, Showgirls. Showgirls is a bad movie. It's terrible, and there are still things that you can find that are entertaining about it, and there's still things that are good about it. Paul Verhoeven is a great visual director, so like, it's not poorly made, it's just bad. It's ill-conceived and ill-acted and all that stuff. We'll get to Showgirls in a second. I just want to say one more thing about You Don't Know Me, which is that it is actually a very interesting piece of criticism in and of itself. The most interesting thing that it does is take Showgirls and place it within the body of work of Paul Verhoeven writ large. So like, one of the things that the filmmakers do is they will show something happening in Showgirls. Like, for instance, Nomi, who is played by Elizabeth Berkley, she throws up like just kind of randomly out of nowhere at the beginning of the movie. She just like kind of like blah, because she gets like, you know, excited and angry. And they intercut that with other similar shots from Paul Verhoeven movies where other characters are doing the same thing. And it implicitly makes one of the arguments that some of the critics in the film are making, which is that Paul Verhoeven is a serious director who is often working with serious themes, even in kind of ridiculous subject matter. RoboCop is a comment on 1980s America and the corporatization and the, you know, police work, et cetera, et cetera. Starship Troopers is essentially a parody / satire that relies on propaganda war film tropes to make the arguments that it's making. They try to do that here with Showgirls, and the problem is that Showgirls, there's no there. There's mm-hmm. like there, Showgirls is not commenting upon anything. What would Showgirls be commenting right. upon? Las Vegas?
Like, Vegas is gross.
The entertainment industry, like, we already know, like, you can't comment upon Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a comment upon itself. Mm-hmm. Like, Las Vegas exists as a way to comment on America almost by reflecting all of our most terrible and great excesses yeah. back on us. Right. Getting to Showgirls itself, it's not a good movie. It has some interesting quirks to it. I mean, like, I feel kind of bad for Elizabeth Berkley because she was directed by Paul Verhoeven to be super over the top.
Yes.
She was coming off of her work on Saved by the Bell.
Documentary, yeah.
Right, right. So she was coming off her work on Saved by the Bell. She's a TV teen star. Mm-hmm. She's not, like, a great actress anyway, probably. We'll never know. We'll never know how good or bad she could have been. But, like, She's not a great actress. She's not a great talent, and she's instructed to go over the top over and over again, and it lends her performance a ridiculous and not in a good way sense. But there's other good stuff in it. Gina Gershon, I think, understands the ridiculous movie that she's in. She plays Crystal Connors, who is the head of the Stardust topless show that Nomi Malone's character is trying to kind of overthrow.
By the way, the idea that the biggest show on the strip is at the Stardust is itself kind of really yeah. it's not at the win. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead, continue, Sonny.
And I do like some of the I like a lot of the performances in this movie, like Alan Ratchins, who plays Tony Moss, who is the character. He's the guy who is like the director of the show, of the topless show, and he is like, he's perfectly scummy and like in a kind of like, he's both gratuitous and impersonal at the same time, and there's something about it that totally works, and he's doing a very good job with it. I don't know. I mean, like, Robert Dobby.
I liked him better.
Robert Dobby as the strip club owner, who like totally earnestly at one point
says something you can't say.
I mean, I can't even with the NSFW it must be warning
weird.
On this.
No. It must be
like,
weird.
It must be weird not having men
bleep.
Show their affection for you. You know, and like, it's just like, it's so perfectly, he says it so perfectly seriously as if he really means it, that it must be weird.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I again, it's not a good movie. Paul Verhoeven directs the hell out of it. It is an interesting movie visually, but it's bad. It's just, it's so ill conceived and whatever he thought he was doing, he has not done. And so that's kind of where I come down on the, like, is Showgirls a masterpiece? Is it a trash masterpiece? Is it, I mean, what it is it's a camp cult classic. It is a movie that, like, that only succeeds because it fails at trying to succeed.
Right. There's a weird, there's like a weird sort of earnestness to the movie, I think.
Totally. It's totally right? earnest. There's no right. argument to be made that this is tongue-in-cheek. There's no argument to be made that this is...
They really wanted to, like, this is going to be... And this is the follow-up to Basic Instinct, but this is going to be it. It's going to be, like you said, this commentary. Mary Catherine, question.
Yes.
You've seen the movie Showgirls.
Yes.
Okay. When did you see it, and what did you think of it at the time?
Yeah, so I am the perfect age for this movie. I think I was 15 when it came out.
I had watched...
Elizabeth Berkley my whole childhood. And I was like, I'm right in that sweet spot for Saved by the Bell fandom as a child. It was on every single day after school for me. So I had seen
in
her
between,
there.
Like Hang Time and California Dreaming. Not that I watched those when I was in my 20s.
Right, not at all.
When you were 30.
At the Weekly Standard.
So I was 15 when it came out. I probably watched it at 17 or 18, I would guess. I don't think I saw it right away.
So, I mean, obviously, what NC-17 means no one under 17, right?
Right.
So that means you could be...
No one under 17.
So you saw it...
Well, I feel like legally. I saw it at a, you know, some sort of ill-advised house party or something, which is kind of the environment you would watch that at 17 or 18 years old. And I did not enjoy it, but I will say one of the reviews...
Thank you, I did.
One of the reviews, and you don't know me, says sleazy but forgettable. And I would say it is sleazy but not at all forgettable.
No. No. Certainly not if you see it at around that age. So, I mean, I probably saw it when I was...
You were five, Sonny. You were five?
It was on HBO after it had been in theaters. Because I remember...
You
like,
didn't see it in the theater.
I remember.
No. You would have been
I would have seen it in the theater if I was your age.
I would have seen it in the theater. Go ahead.
But I probably saw it at like, I don't know, 17 or so on HBO, and I remember being like, oh, there's a lot going on here for you know, 15 or 16 year old. I was like, oh, okay.
I do remember earnestly liking Gina Gershon. I thought she was great in the movie, and I liked her from then on as an actress.
Yes.
So I remember her very clearly.
I was 22, and I was, this is before I even, I just graduated, and I was living in Shirlington before Shirlington was a thing with my old college housemate, Jose. And the two of us walked down to the Shirlington Theater, which was there at the time, next to a Best, which was gone, and a Damon's House of Ribs, also
Best.
Gone. Yes, a Best. That's like a department store.
Forgot about that one.
That's where I got my AT&T phone with voicemail service, and then you put a cassette tape in it. Anyway, went in there, and it was rather titillating. You know, it was like, oh, we're walking into this thing. I wonder if we're going to get stopped. It was like, I was giggling. Well, as you can imagine, I giggled throughout. And then also weird, I was wearing sweatpants. Anyway, but I did enjoy. Not the trench coat. No, that comes later on. I remember at the time, even for me and by my standards, and of course, I mean, because this crushes the quadrants in so many ways, like, you know,
rules plus, the quadrants.
Yeah, it rules the quadrants. But even for me at the time, I thought the acting made you cringe. Like it just made you, Elizabeth Berkley made you cringe, her acting I'm talking about. But then, you know, again, as you mentioned, Sonny, you know, Paul Verhoeven says, no, it was all me. I told her to do this, which is a shame because I think she's great. I like her. I remember seeing her in Any Given Sunday. She played the escort. But she was great in that with Al Pacino. Now, the other question Mary Catherine and I had is, did you have thoughts on this movie as a dancer? Because you are also, well, I'm not saying you're an exotic dancer, but you dance. For real. I mean, you were a dancer.
I'm not a trained dancer or anything, but I will say, I'm trying to think.
What classes have you taken?
Let me detail them. I took them all during lockdown. I just became a trained dancer. No, but I think I had seen, as a kid, I had seen Elizabeth Berkley do the, it was funny, one of the guys in the documentary who's devoted his life to showgirl analysis had not seen the I'm So Excited, Jesse Spano, Caffeine Pills episode before he became familiar with Showgirls. But if you are familiar with that episode of Saved by the Bell, you know where everything Nomi Malone came from, because that's just Elizabeth Berkley doing that scene over and over and over again at that same pitch. And I, after this revisiting of it, this is not the toolkit I had when I was 17. I desperately wanted to get her a therapist. I just
looking back
the character or Elizabeth Berkley.
Nomi
Malone or Elizabeth Berkley.
Nomi, but I care deeply for both of them.
Looking back now, though, has it changed your opinion of Showgirls and watching You Don't Know Me? Like, oh, you know what? Oh, it's got its charm.
So I would say that there were a couple things that I did remember that I thought, okay, yes, it was visually distinctive. I remember from that long ago, I remember parts of it really well. Although I would say Wild Things did pool sex better than this. I don't know. I don't know why that was a thing in the 90s. Was that
our
thing?
There are people now replaying that line you just said. It's on a loop.
It was just risque. That was our risque thing. But
it was a big deal.
I noticed the poster is great. Graphic design on the poster is great. And very tasteful compared to the whole production.
Yeah.
I like that I shouldn't count my chickens. It seems uncancelable, even though it should totally be canceled.
Mm.
I enjoy it's sort of transcending that, because they mention in the documentary all the fact that the African-American characters are just there to help her realize her dreams. There's all sorts of problematic women stuff you can't even begin to count. But here it is on HBO Max, just living its second life. So I sort of admire that.
Right there. What bothered me about the documentary is they talk about that, the negative portrayals, let's say, of the African Americans, but they don't talk about the negative portrayal of the Asian, the only Asian in this movie. And that is the Asian businessman at the boating.
The Japanese businessman
at the boating convention thing, and the girls get hired to be like, you know, car girls, as they do on the hood, but it turns out it's more than that. And then they go, let's go back to the guy who takes them to this thing, says, let's go back and, you know, have a good time. And the Japanese businessman says it in his accent, something to the effect of, yes, let's go back. We have good time. We have good to come back. We have good time. You know what? We're not all like that. That's not how we operate, you know?
No.
I mean,
you're not a Japanese.
I wouldn't have been so forward.
I feel like you're kind of projecting a little bit here.
No, not really.
It's a different culture.
I just think that, you know, I would have asked her out to dinner. You know, I wouldn't have just gone.
Well, they were going to listen to Caesar sing first. You know, have you ever heard Caesar sing?
Thank you. Okay, so I mean, there was that. The other thing that I think is shocking is that the budget was $40 million.
$40 million.
I looked it up.
$40 million, and in today's money, that's like $100 million.
Yeah, no, I tried putting it into the calculator that I have, but it didn't let me go up to 40 million. So I just extrapolated. It's about 60 million, I think, something like that. But but like compared with A Quiet Place, which in 2018 dollars cost only like 17 million,
wow,
to make, and obviously made a killing.
Yeah.
You know,
I made a lot of money.
I
thought there was a part in the documentary where they note that they're always talking about their nails, and there was a suggestion that might be a bit misogynistic or inaccurate. And I'm here to say that no, women talk about their nails constantly. Constantly. Yeah, and since COVID started, it's even more, because I realize how reliant so many of my friends are who have rich lives, rich, beautiful lives and children and careers, but they are very upset about the nail situation until very recently.
The
and there's
can't
a lot of talking them. And I think probably a lot of judging, and I don't come out well in that arena. So who knows what people have thought of me over the years, but that's a real thing. Women do judge each other by their nails.
Including, you're saying including yourself, like going to a nail salon and stuff like that.
But see, I'm the JV one. I do my own nails. I lose in this battle. Against Crystal and Know Me, I'm done.
Okay. The Paul Verhoeven things, you mentioned that, Sonny, earlier. It's interesting because they talk about how he came to America and, you know, where he, you know, his stuff in Holland was okay. It was really too edgy. And so,
yeah.
And he really,
yeah, he was exiled to Hollywood.
Yes. And he really did have a moment there with Total Recall and RoboCop, as you were mentioning,
Totally.
And Basic Instinct. However, when they do show the old movies in Holland, I have zero desire to see any of his old stuff. The movie called Spetters. Hard pass. Not going to see that. It's just really
weird
stuff.
I don't know about any of that. I have not seen any of his. I have not seen any of Verhoeven's non-English language stuff except for L, which was his most recent movie.
Okay.
With Isabelle Huppert.
There is. Is that the one that she got an award for?
Yeah,
right.
She won. Yeah. She won Best Actress.
So it's
at
kind
the Globes
of
or
he's come around for that. I mean, I give him credit to showing up at the Razzies. To accept,
yeah, that was funny. That was funny. It made me.
It's a good call.
Very much. I always enjoy it when people do that. Like when Sandra Bullock showed up to accept her reward for the terrible movie she did with what's his name from The Hangover, Bradley Cooper. I mean, Paul Verhoeven was. I mean, he was legitimately one of like the great kind of action genre type filmmakers from the mid 80s to the mid 90s.
Well, and some of the really memorable films. Like I said, I will never forget this one, but Total Recall I watched when I was very young and remember it to this day in rich detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's.
I didn't realize it was the same guy until I watched this documentary.
But.
He's an auteur.
It's the scene where the woman, the large lady and the head, and it's actually Arnold Schwarzenegger. The worst part about it, the most ridiculous part, is the fake Arnold Schwarzenegger head inside the woman's head in Total Recall. You know the famous scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's the animatronic Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so, but I guess at the time and watching it, you accepted that. Like, okay, that's just the way it goes. But
No, I mean, there's definitely some kind of sketchy special effects in that. Mm-hmm. Like when he goes through the X-ray scanner. With the gun.
Oh, yeah, that was
like
a big deal. It's like, wow.
Skeleton.
Right. That's skeleton. They did a little bit of that in True Lies. It's wild stuff. The question about Total Recall, of course, is it the actual dream fulfillment or was it real? Right? What do you say, Sonny Bunch?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I?
It's a dream. Yes, Mary Kay.
Sorry, this is. I apologize for breaking it. This is going back to the documentary, but I think there might be a documentary that's the real documentary inside this documentary, which is the young Mormon girl who runs away from her family and culture apparently and was disowned by her parents and later goes on to be sexually assaulted and then work that out through starring as Jesse Spano in the Bayside musical. But then she goes on to star also as Nomi in the Showgirls musical.
She's shadow Elizabeth Berkley.
I mean,
like, it's weird.
There's a whole thing
It's deeply weird.
Oh, yeah. And it starts off like, okay, well, how long is this? You know, that segment was a very long segment of the documentary where she's just talking. And you wonder, where is it going? Then you get the, as you mentioned, Mary Catherine, the full story about her life. And you're like, it's actually paralleling Elizabeth Berkley.
I need more about her.
That was what? Well, and the musical looked kind of funny.
Yeah, so I didn't love that section of the movie just because it feels like a different movie.
Yeah, that's what
totally feels like a different documentary. That said, I think you're right. It would be totally fascinating because that's a life choice to be like, I'm gonna be Elizabeth Berkley
on stage
every night.
Right, not Betty Davis, but I'm gonna be Elizabeth Berkley forever. The funny thing about Showgirls also is that, you know, the typical story is, you know, that you try to make it big in L.A. and if that doesn't work, you end up in Vegas. And at least some of the women I spoke to when I was in Vegas did my reporting have said that, you know. But no, the but here was like the reverse, where her first thing is
some of your reporting that you've done with some of our friends.
And they're all going to law school. They're all studying for law school. Here in Showgirls, her goal is Vegas, and then of course, then in the end, I guess she's heading to LA. Enjoy. Is that what happens when she hitchhikes? So it's a funny, weird.
There's another story and another musical out there to be told.
That's right.
There is a Showgirls 2, you know.
Well, like there's like,
a Showgirls 2. There's a Showgirls 2 that is a direct sequel to this, but it's
direct
to
video.
It's about the girl Penny. What's her name? The one that gets pregnant. From the dancer, the male dancer. She's in the show with the. She's like, you know.
This is real? What you're saying is real?
It's 100% too, really? True. It's Showgirls 2. Pennies from Heaven is what it's called. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
So,
it's a thing that exists.
Early on, some of you said that, you know, HBO Max's Showgirls, the full NC-17 version. It's not like there are other versions, though, are there?
Well,
I mean, other than the one if they were to show it on AMC, I assume.
There is an R-rated cut. There's also a cut that showed on VH1 all the time where it had this animation over the... private areas.
Animation?
They would like draw bras on.
Oh my gosh.
To the characters.
Yeah, it's not a movie that
okay.
does
I
well
in
that
format. Anybody would,
I would
I don't
say,
know why anybody would watch that.
My final, yeah, exactly. When is Cinemax Plus going to come out? That's what I, Max. Cinemax, Max.
Cinemax.
I want Cinemax Max Plus to come out. That's going to be the good one. The only thing I thought about, you don't know me, and you've already basically covered it, is it really worth, I mean, is it really something like, oh, it's bigger than it is, you know? I mean, and I just, I don't know. It's weird, as Mary Catherine mentions, the fella who hadn't seen the I'm So Excited Pills thing, he writes sestinas. Is that what he does?
I don't remember which one.
Poems. Was that the one who writes the poems?
I'm not sure if it was him, but yes.
He writes sestinas of Showgirls. That's a bit much. I think it's a bit much.
I mean, look, there's a lot of weird people in the world.
Yeah.
And every weird person has a weird thing that they fixate on. For instance, the movie Sucker Punch. That's like, you know, similar.
Blue Lagoon is another one for some people.
Everything like this has a subculture of people around it. And again, this is one of the reasons I like this movie, is because it doesn't focus too much on like the weirdos who are totally fixated on it, aside from the like Elizabeth Berkley, Shadow Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah.
She will always be known to me. I will never know this woman as anything other than like
Shadow Elizabeth.
Fake Elizabeth Berkley. Like that's it. I think it is a relatively successful extended video essay about like Showgirls and what Showgirls means within the kind of extended oeuvre of Paul Verhoeven.
I think I came to root for Elizabeth Berkley far more than I had ever rooted for Nomi Malone, and so at the end I was sort of happy about the Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of status of this thing for some
and
people
she
that she
up.
Can enjoy, and I do like that, because this did torpedo her in a big way, and she's not good in it, but if she was directed in a certain way,
I would have given her a second chance. I mean, I felt the same way. I think it's incredibly unfair, but and again, if you watch her very very small bit role in Any Given Sunday with Al Pacino, it's very understated. You know, it's like she went out of her way to show, okay, seriously, I'm not like that all the time, you know? Okay.
By the way,
yeah.
Do we have time for a quick
ranking?
We have
lots of time, please.
I have a ranking.
Oh my
ranking.
Goodness.
Oh,
Mary
boy.
Catherine, go
I
for
brought
it.
A short ranking in the short. This is the ranking of post Saved by the Bell careers of Saved by the Bell stars.
Okay.
All right.
Do we want to go
from worst to best or best to worst?
Obviously, worst to best. You don't start with the
best.
That's
what I think, but sometimes I feel like it gets flipped.
No, JBL does it wrong.
He does.
Okay. All right, so we start.
I don't know. Kind of worst is pretty good, too, but okay.
Okay, we're going to start with the worst. And this is tough, but I think I'm right in that it goes to Dustin Diamond, who has had many a legal trouble and basically in entertainment only done sort of very low-level reality shows. as a sort of exploitative entertainment. Just I'm not sure how great he turned out in general.
I would have ranked him as best because he did star in a porno.
I know that.
Okay.
Yours would look different.
My number one, Dustin.
He does. Yeah. He has a sex tape. So in some measures, that would make him higher. Lark Voorhees is next, who was Lisa Turtle. Sorry, I should name their characters as well.
No, I knew who you were talking about. Why?
Lisa Turtle actually has starred in has acted more than you would have thought. And also dated Martin Lawrence for a while, which is... I mean, if you've got Martin Lawrence and Zach Morris in your past, I think that's a win for you. But she's acted a bit, but she's also had some troubles, legal and otherwise.
Oh, really?
I think.
I heard, but I can't remember.
Yeah, perhaps substance abuse, or I don't want to be libelous. Nobody put me on it.
Don't get us sued.
So Elizabeth Berkley is not at the bottom. She comes after those two. So she's number three. Elizabeth Berkley, and she has done some stuff since Showgirls, but not a ton. But she seems like a happy young lady. She seems to have her life sort of on track. I'm, again, rooting for Elizabeth Berkley. Then we have number four, Mark Paul Gosselaar. Almost entirely for the critically acclaimed, I think, NYPD Blue stint, but didn't really go anywhere after that.
He's been in several... Well, all right, I'll do my own ranking.
Oh, by the way, please. And Elizabeth Berkley actually might move up in my estimation at some point because she did do a Hallmark Christmas movie, and you know I have a soft spot for that.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
So Mark Paul Gosselaar. I put Tiffany Thiessen next. Kelly Kapowski.
Oh, yeah.
She's number two.
Because of?
I do love her, so that might just be my bias, but she she's a very well-rounded star after this, and she made the turn from child actress to mature actress by taking a sketchy a sexier role in a better way, because she went to 90210
where she did.
Played
That's right. She did,
by the way, Valerie Malone. Interesting. And anyway, so I thought she pulled that off well. She's done a ton of stuff since then. She's had successful sitcoms, and she has a cookbook, which makes her an Instagram influencer, basically. So She's done all the things.
I objectively understand that she's attractive. Again, personally, I have never found her attractive because of her head. It's big.
Just too big.
She's got a big head.
Heart-shaped face.
It's like me. Yeah. It's like looking at myself. Okay, go ahead.
And then number one is Mario Lopez because he's freaking everywhere. He's everywhere.
Didn't he get canceled, though?
I think he briefly got canceled, but it didn't work because he's on E! Still.
Hey. Oh,
yeah, in a different way than Showgirls, he's on every hotel TV in America.
Wow. Right. I'm not even going to ask about that one. But
the
E!
Show is the thing. That's their B-roll. They play
they're
it everywhere.
They're always rolling that there. He played Greg Louganis.
Yes.
Just want to add
He's
that.
Everywhere. He'll be famous forever. He will host everything forever because every generation only gets a couple of hosts, and we have Seacrest and him.
Yeah.
Well, that's. I guess that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
And Kimmel, but he's now sort of canceled, so...
And
was Mark Paul Gosselaar on like a TNT show with Jason Lee?
Yes. Nash Bridges.
Am I remembering that correctly? Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't Nash Bridges. You're thinking of Franklin and Bash.
Franklin and Bash. That's what I was going to say. No, not Franklin.
Rizzoli and Isles?
Yes.
Rizzoli and Isles.
I think he actually was in that for a while.
Simon and Simon.
This is why I would say that. Doing it in the proper order, worst to best. I mean, Dustin Diamond and Lark Voorhees are obviously tired for worst. That's like they you know have their own issues. Assuming that we are going to not discuss Dennis Haskins,
Mr. Belding,
aka Mr. Belding,
he takes up several slots. If you know what I mean.
After that, I think it's probably, I think Tiffany Amber Thiessen is probably, you know, next on the list. Then Elizabeth Berkley, then Mario Lopez, and then I think Mark Paul Gosselaar has by far had, I think he has had
Zach
by far
always
the best.
Wins. That's the lesson.
Zach always wins. And like, this is the thing is that like, he has been a working actor.
He's working.
In major shows. Yeah. Like throughout the post Saved by the Bell period. I mean, like, it's hard to find. There is no year where he is not working. And it's often as the lead in, like, one-off TV series, right? Like, he's always, like, I don't even know what this is. The Passage. The Passage. I'm just going to click it on IMDb right now. I'm looking at it. The Passage, a TV series in 2019, when a botched U.S. government experiment turns a group of death row inmates into highly infectious vampires, an orphan girl might be the only person able to stop the ensuing crisis. I don't even know what this is. I have no idea what this
is. Working.
But it got a full season run. It got a full season run in 2019. So good for him.
He is AC, like, you know, I tried. You just remember that.
AC's later. As John Podhoretz is yelling at us right now, he's wondering if we know that Saved by the Bell in Germany was called a different show. You know what it was called in Germany? Zach.
Of course it was.
So wait, was Mario Lopez... All right, one last question. Was Mario Lopez on the terrible beach bike cop show? Remember, what was that called? Was
Pacific
it called
Blue?
Pacific Blue?
I think you're
was
right.
Was he on
yes.
Pacific Blue? Mm-hmm. Yes, he definitely was. Police Officer Bobby Cruz on Pacific Blue. Sorry, I'm just flipping through all of their IMDbs right now.
Mario Lopez will be hosting things from now until forever.
I thought he got canceled.
I think there was a Me Too incident, but I don't think he's totally canceled.
So he's still
around.
He's still, all right.
He probably hit the wrong news cycle with his Me Too and breezed past it.
Okay. Thank you both. Corrections, shout outs. I have a shout out. I just want to congratulate listener Father Anthony Sharapa, who mentioned on Twitter that he finally won a game of Civilization. Congratulations. I the question is, how many Inquisitors did he create? You know, a little auto de fe action going on there. Okay. He could tell me. He DM me. Okay. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis, at MK Hammer. Thank you again for doing the show.
Sure.
MK Hammer. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon or the podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. Do you have any outtakes?
I should say, earlier I said Vegas is gross. And as my shout out, I would like to say that friend of the show, Kristen Soltis Anderson, who has extremely good taste, really likes Vegas. And I have told her we must go together so you can teach me why. So just want to.
I love Vegas. I love the food, and gambling.
As long as you adhere to a strict 72-hour rule,
you cannot be
in Las Vegas for longer than 72 hours, because otherwise you just start to, like, shut down. Okay. Your brain is like too many lights.
I need to be guided
and sounds and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of bells and whistles. I have a question for you all. Have you maybe Sunny? Or you know what? I mean, you live further out too, Mary Catherine. Have you been trying to find Comet Neowise?
The what now?
Have what?
The big comet. The comet that comes every 6,800 years. Comet Neowise is in the sky right now as we speak.
Nerd? What is comet this? What are you talking about?
The sun goes down. It's 10 degrees.
I'm sorry. I didn't go down to the basement of the science building to find the dumb thing in the sky.
It's below the Big Dipper. And I have been trying to find it, but there's too much other light in my neighborhood. So I found the other night, I was walking down the streets alone with my binoculars, and I found a spot on a dark part of the street, on a side street, and I'm looking for it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the door, and I'm standing in somebody's, like, near the edge of, Sunny's shaking his head already. And, like, the door opens like somebody was taking out the garbage. It was like a young person, and she just stopped. And I look, I go, and I'm there with my binoculars. And I told her, I said, don't mind me.
I'm sorry, what were you there with?
Binoculars.
You were there with,
the,
with your
comet.
What? I'm sorry, can you
just say it one more time?
What was that?
My binoculars?
What was that?
Binoculars?
Yes,
that's how I say it. Anime. Right. That's how I say it. Anime. There's right. a throwback
Whatever.
For you.
Binoculars.
Whatever you
know. We'll forget about it. This is one of my bad opinions, but I think space is boring. Just doesn't work for me.
I'm sure it's fine. Ugh.